You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo! Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo!
The Bills make me wanna shout!
Hey Bills fans, welcome to this recap episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and we're going to discuss this come-from-behind win by the Buffalo Bills 17-16 over the New York Jets in New Jersey this afternoon. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, John and Mike. Fellas, you ready to talk about the Bills' first win of the 2019 season?
Nate, it feels like 1993. This is incredible.
Yeah, it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling. This team, so first of all, we're 1-0 in the league, 1-0 in the division, obviously, and it's a huge win against what is considered a potential wild card opponent. So that's always huge. That's the first tiebreaker in wild card. Not that we're aiming for the wild card. We're aiming for to win the AFC, but if we're not, then the next thing has to be wild card. And the first tiebreaker is head-to-head win. So we got that. As far as this game goes, I mean, it kind of felt like the tale of two halves, in my opinion, where the first half, the Bills were moving the ball okay, and they were seeming to sustain some drives, but they just kept...
That's being generous. They had us in the first half, not going to lie.
I thought they had some good things in the first half, but yeah, just nice, Mike. Nice. coming in strong for the first game. I love it. I think that they had some good things going in the first half. It was just a matter of not being able to sustain them and not being able to, I guess, what's the word? Not turn the ball over at the end of them every single time. It was just unbelievable. And I actually criticized Josh Allen into halftime, and I took a lot of flack on Twitter over it, saying that he was turning the ball over. And, you know, at least one of those, well, actually two of those weren't his fault. The one, the pass to Cole Beasley over the middle, where it hit him in the hands and popped right into C.J. Mosley's hand. And then, you know, Mitch Morris basically dropping the snap to Josh Allen. And, you know, then Josh Allen had those two really was right into the arms of the defender. Well, not right into the... He batted up in the air and then caught it and stuff like that. But the second half, man, they made some adjustments. They started playing a lot of Devin Singletary. The defense stayed stout, which I was really worried about because Le'Veon Bell and that offense, man, they'll just wear you down over time. So I was really happy. I mean, you know, let's all thank our lucky stars that C.J. Mosley actually got injured in the second half because, man, he was... I didn't have a whole lot of thoughts about C.J. Mosley in free agency. I knew he was good. I knew that the Jets paid a lot of money for him. I was like, oh, he probably overpaid, right? Dude, that guy, at least as far as this game is worth, was worth every single penny that they paid for him because he was probably the difference in the first half. So I'm going to turn it over to you guys. John, what did you think about the game in general? What were your thoughts on the team, seeing the first action of the season?
Yeah, man, you nailed it when you said tale of two halves. I mean, they started out first quarter 19 passes in a row. I think the first run was at the very end of the first quarter. It was a 1 yard run from Frank Gore. And on one hand, it was exciting, you know, to see them coming out passing. You know, Josh Allen was 5 of 6 for his first 6 passes, and they're making drives, moving down the field. Obviously, they're turning the ball over at the end of those drives. It was exciting, but then at the same time, you're like, okay, they need some balance here. They need to throw some running plays in the mix, at least a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of, because in the past years, it's the opposite. It's like, we need more balance. We need more passing.
yeah.
So, I mean, you know, they, they game plan that way, and it they did make second half adjustments. Singletary finally got involved, and he had really awesome bursts of energy. He had some of those runs and receptions. It was really amazing to see. And then Josh Allen, he stayed true. He kept working at it. He didn't, you know, he's still driving down the field in the second half, and he minimized the mistakes. That was the difference. He took away the mistakes in the second half. He didn't let it get to him. He kept going. And between that and Singletary, Dibble made the adjustments. And the defense, like you said, they stayed stout the entire game, only lit up 8 points. I thought it was great.
I think you guys are being way too hard on Josh Allen. This game felt like the Bills were right there the entire time. It was like the definition of being snake bit. It was like the flukiest things over and over and over again. And the Bills defense was outstanding, right? They gave up 8 points the entire game. And it just felt like, get the ball back. It can't happen again. And it did in the first half. Mm-hmm. It happened three additional times after the first turnover. But it felt like the turnovers sucked. But yeah. You felt like the defense is going to take care of it, and the Bills are still in the game.
Yeah, they can't.
Didn't you guys feel like that? It felt to me a lot different than prior years. Like, we got to get the ball back for Allen in the offense to go down, and eventually these fluke things cannot happen for four full quarters. We're right here. We're right there. Get the ball back, and things will turn around. And eventually they did.
Yeah, this is.
It definitely helped that they were playing the Jets, I think.
Yeah.
If it was a lot of other teams, they probably wouldn't have been able to come back from four turnovers.
I don't think the Jets are. I think Sam Darnold is a great player. Le'Veon Bell is a top running back. I agree that you can't screw around with the Patriots, things like that, and the elite teams. But I don't think the Jets are a Miami at the other end of the spectrum.
I don't know if any team's in Miami at this point. That was I love the point that you brought up, Mike, about never giving in and never giving up and just needing one more chance, because even into halftime, they were only down by, 6 points? And that's as bad as that game was going, and it was going bad considering the turnovers, the Jets could not capitalize off of them, which is huge. In prior years and prior teams, to your point, Mike, they would have let that happen, and not only let that not shown up on the field, but shown up mentally. They would have. Josh Allen did not let those plays get to him, John, like you said. And I think this is in a greater chasm of this entire game and this team is the culture that Sean McDermott has created of never give up, never say die, and keep on playing. And they did. How many other teams have we seen in the past just kind of give up, like, well, you know, the defense is playing their butt off and they're just, and the offense can't get anything going. And eventually the defense is just like, you know what, screw it. I'm done doing this. And then they let, you know, 20 points up in the fourth quarter. The Bills defense did not do that. And I thought they looked great. And this team is mentally tough to be able to sustain that and go through what they went through and still find a way to win. Dude, how interesting was it? I don't know if you guys noticed this, but Cody Ford.
If you say you don't know if we noticed that Le'Veon Bell hadn't played in 602 days, I'm gonna throw my computer out the window.
Did they mention that once or twice?
Like,
on the
enough!
Broadcast?
Oh my gosh!
It's like, wait, does he even know how to play the game anymore? It's been 602 days. That sounds a lot better than just saying, it's like a year and a half. Yeah, year and two thirds. It's not that much. I don't know if you guys knew this, but Cody Ford started the game at right tackle. In the last couple of drives, the Bills substituted in Ty Nasecki in at right tackle. And I believe that helped a lot with getting Josh Allen a little bit more protection. So another thing that I wanted to give the Bills coaching staff and players a lot of credit for is adjusting in the second half. John, you mentioned Frank Gore not really getting going, putting Devin Singletary in, getting him involved in the passing game, getting him involved in the running game. Obviously, C.J. Mosley not being there helped a lot because they were getting a lot of work over the middle. But, you know, the adjustment to not only, you know, get Devin Singletary involved, but also to change their protection around Josh Allen so that he's not running for his life, you know, every single play. And he wasn't, that's overblown. It wasn't every single play, but it was more often than you'd like to see. And in the first half compared to the second half, Josh Allen was running a lot more. And not only was he running, he was taking a lot of hits, like way more hits than you want your, you know, quote unquote franchise quarterback taking. In the second half, he was running a lot less and was taking a lot less hits. So as far as I go, like we were talking about a tale of two halves, as far as the play on the field, I want to say a tale of two halves for the coaching staff and just changing their game strategy overall. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think one of the goats of the first half was the offense in general, and part of that was Dable, the play calling. I think in the second half, adding more runs in, specifically Devin Singletary, that helped a lot. And then, like you said, with the offensive line changes.
All right, so we're going to go over some stats of the game. I'm going to start off the stats of the game with a quiz for Mike and John. Fellas, give me a number. What do you think the yards per carry were for Devin Singletary in this game?
You're sharing your screen with me.
Can you still see it?
You're on the ESPN.
Can you still see it?
Game stats.
Oh, whoops.
For what it's worth, I already knew that answer.
Stop sharing. All right, new quiz. Okay. No, I got another one for you. How come you guys didn't say anything?
We did.
What was Josh Allen's passer rating in the fourth quarter? Josh Allen's passer rating in the fourth quarter. Now, it's
a complex calculation.
It's just give me a number. You don't have to calculate anything. So, you know, the maximum is 158.3. I'll give you a hint. It is not 158.3. It is less than 158.3. But this isn't Price is Right rules, because I don't want Mike to say 120 and John just say one. So we're doing straight up whoever's closest by number.
You think that they could make it 0 to 100.
I agree.
Yeah, that's the QBR. I think that's the ESPN QBR you're discussing.
Okay.
That's
No, I'm not discussing it. I just make it a scale more palatable to humans, right? Yeah.
Without me having to spend like 10 seconds to explain what the range of a passer rating. What range ends in a 0.3?
I mean, everything else is based on, right? Convert it. Use your formula, but convert it over. Well, I'll say 132.4.
Nice. 132
point. 132.3.
Damn it.
Oh, Mike's right, actually.
Yes.
Mike's... Nice try, John. 142.5. He was 8 for 10, 102 yards, and a touchdown in leading the Bills to the fourth quarter game-winning drive. So this actually brings up a point I wanted to discuss with you guys is, you know, you look for all of these things from a guy like Josh Allen that could be your potential franchise quarterback, right? Things that move in the right direction. Is this guy going to be your franchise quarterback or not? And one of those things is to lead a fourth quarter comeback and, unlike last year, do it with your arm instead of running the ball. And I'm not ready to say he's a franchise quarterback, but man, he looked good. This is one of those things that you want to see in the face of pressure, in the face of adversity, in being on the road especially. The guy led a fourth quarter comeback with his arm, throwing some really nice passes. So I think Josh Allen deserves a ton of credit for that today, not only getting over, you know, the first half and all the turnovers, but just, you know, making that next step. That's one of those many steps that you always see with, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. How many fourth quarter comebacks have they led? So here's another one. Add another one to Josh Allen. Another thing that, you know, he's been able to prove. And, you know, when people look at this game, if people look at the highlights and they look at what Josh Allen did, they won't say, oh, he's a running quarterback that can also pass. Today, he was a passing quarterback that won the game that way. So let's go over some more stats of the game. Josh Allen, 24 for 37 on the day, 254 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions, two fumbles lost. Devin Singletary, 4 carries for 70 yards, 17 and a half yards per carry. That was the number that you guys saw on my screen earlier. Josh Allen was rushing 10 carries for 38 yards. And Frank Gore only had 11, had the most carries of the whole team, 11 carries, but only 20 yards at 1.8 yards per carry. So luckily they made that adjustment in the second half. John Brown leading the receivers for the Buffalo Bills. Free agent John Brown, John Smokey Brown, which I don't know if you guys caught that on the telecast. Rich Gannon was talking about John Brown while the Jets were on the field, and number 15 on the Jets kept catching the ball. So that was pretty funny. Just more grade A broadcasting by the NFL. So John Brown, seven catches on 10 targets, 123 yards, and one touchdown. So John Brown becomes the first player in Buffalo Bills team history to record over 100 receiving yards in his Bills debut. So really cool stat, really great. I mean, the rookies showed up today. The free agents showed up today. Cole Beasley was the number two in receiving yardage, 5 receptions for 40 yards. Tommy Sweeney, 2 receptions for 35 yards, and so on and so forth. On the defensive side of the ball, Jordan Poyer led the team with 6 tackles, 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss. Guy had a monster game. Matt Milano, 6 tackles, 1 tackle for loss. As far as sacks go, Lorenzo Alexander had half a sack, and Jerry Hughes had 1.5 sacks. And Shaq Lawson had that huge sack on third down. So really great performance by the defense. On the Jets side of the ball, Sam Darnold, 28 for 41, only 175 yards, 1 touchdown, 0 interceptions. So stat lines are different turnover-wise, but obviously Josh Allen had a better day throwing the ball besides the turnovers. Le'Veon Bell led in rushing, obviously 17 carries for 60 yards, only 3.5 yards per carry. So I think that's a win, in my opinion. If you were to say, you were able to hold Le'Veon Bell to only 3.5 yards per carry, I think that's a win in my book. Especially when I believe he had over 200 yards against us a couple of seasons ago with the Steelers. So yeah, not less than 200 yards against us. That's a win.
I didn't like how he had that 2-point conversion.
What do you mean? What didn't you like about it? The fact that he caught it, or the fact that he was...
Yeah. Yeah.
The Bills couldn't defend it?
The Bills let him get that.
Ah. That was infuriating.
It was like that ball was up in the air for such a long time.
And it wasn't like Bell was moving.
It was just like, there's no way. Yeah. There's no way. Caught.
Bell just sat there for like 10 seconds while the ball just fluttered into the air. Yeah. Leading receiver for the Jets, Jamison Crowder, 14 receptions on 17 targets, 99 yards. He had an amazing game. Le'Veon Bell, second, 6 receptions for 32 yards on 9 targets. Le'Veon Bell, almost 100 yards all-purpose again, but still nothing like a stat line from a normal Pittsburgh Steelers Le'Veon Bell. So interesting stats of the game. Just here's a few more I just got from the Bills PR. They really talked about how well the Bills did today. Devin Singletary had 4 carries for 70 yards, and the 70 yards marks the third highest rushing total by a Bill in their debut, trailing Marshawn Lynch, who had 90 in his debut, and Thurman Thomas had 86. Josh Allen had his 9th career rushing touchdown for the day. The Bills rallied from a 16-point deficit to record their season-opening win. That's the largest comeback since 2011, which was 21 points against the New England Patriots. I believe that was a game they won, I believe, in September 25th against the New England Patriots in 2011. That's the one they won. Josh Allen's 24 completions and 254 yards passing both marked career highs for the second-year quarterback. Jerry Hughes, recording a multi-sack day, moved into the sole possession of 6th place on the team's all-time sack chart in franchise history. So some really cool things there. We're actually going to take a break right now. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss our plays of the game and our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, "Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back." If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, "Everything okay in there?" "Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog."
All right, welcome back to the Circling the Wagons podcast. I'm your host, Nate, joined by my co-hosts, Mike and John, to discuss this Bills victory on week one, where they defeat AFC East division rival, the New York Jets. Hey, guys, what? Just in general, this is kind of exciting from a Bills standpoint, is that this could be a really exciting rivalry between Josh Allen and Sam Darnold. Now, obviously, Josh Allen had the better of this game, but it could easily have gone the other way. I think these are two very young quarterbacks that have a lot of potential. I liked what I saw from Sam Darnold and obviously Josh Allen's competitiveness. I mean, that's kind of exciting, right? I think this could be, you know, barring Brady doesn't play till he's 50, this could be the division rivalry within the AFC East. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. Just like EJ and Geno.
Nice. Thanks for that snark, John. Mike?
Not excited at all about talent and like, right, that's what everybody wants, a franchise quarterback. I think we want one and we don't want anybody else to have any.
I definitely don't want him to have one, but I mean, if these are the Bills haven't had a division rival, I guess is my point, in a long time. I mean, we've made up rivalries, but we've really never been competing with anyone else in the division because the Patriots have been running away with it season after season, and they still might again this season, but you know, in the coming seasons. What's that, John?
Not this year. This is the year.
This is the year, John. John, are they starting their 23-0 quest?
Yes, this is it. This is it. 23-0.
5-0. They're already on their way. So it's just been so long since we've ever, and I guess you just have to think a couple years ahead to when the Patriots will eventually end their dynasty. Hopefully Bill Belichick retires, Tom Brady retires, and now we start over with, you know, right now you just have a complete garbage heap in Miami. And so it's really just the Bills and the Jets at this point. And, you know, if it's an exciting sort of Bills-Dolphins rivalry that we had in the 90s, then I'm all for it. Even if we split one a year and win the other five against the other four against the other teams, I'm okay with it. So, all right, let's get to the plays of the game for the Buffalo Bills. So plays of the game brought to you by our T Public store. You want to find some cool Bills gear that you can't find anywhere else on the internet? Check out tpublic.com/stores/ctwpod, where we have 15 to 20 extremely unique designs, such as Josh Allen hurdling the haters t-shirt, which I will be wearing pretty much every game until they lose. They have the Sean McDermott Trust the Process shirt, the Circle the Wagons shirt, our Circling the Wagons podcast logo, and a bunch of really cool other designs that you have to check out on this this Bills victory week at tpublic.com/stores/ctwpod. Now the ctwpod is just like our Twitter handle at Circling the Wagons Pod. Play of the game for me just has to be, you know, it was the changing point of the game. It was a great pass by Josh Allen to hit John Brown in the fourth quarter on the game-winning drive, where he threw that 38-yard pass and John Brown wasn't even necessarily open, but there was no safety over the top, and he just threw it to where John Brown could make a play. And he's just turning out right now at this point to be a really great free agent acquisition. It just capped an amazing day by John Brown and the connection that he's made with Josh Allen so far. And I'm really excited to see that for the rest of the season. And it was an unbelievable comeback, and it just capped that off. What did you guys think? Do you guys have another play of the game?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably go with that one myself. I mean, there were other plays as well. There was that 3rd and 10 sack the Bills had against the Jets. I forget who that was. Shaq Lawson.
Yep, that was Shaq Lawson. Yep, sacking. Darnold almost rolled out of the pocket too, and he just had a toe string, a shoestring tackle for that. That was huge. Huge. Shaq Lawson showing up big today, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, it was one of those heart attack games, and it's first week of the season, right? You know, coming back from 16-0 to win 17-16. You know, the ballless play right at the end. He was beat. Somehow he made up and coverage didn't interfere with the guy. Put his arm in there and made the play. I mean, that was a good play too.
Absolutely. Mike, what about you? Same? John Brown touchdown pass?
John Brown's touchdown for the game winner.
Nice. So let's go into our Wall of Famer for the game. So who would we put on our each recap episode? We talk about who we want to put, who obviously was our MVP of the game, who deserves to be on the Wall of Fame, and who deserves to be on the Wall of Shame. And actually, before we get into that, I apologize. I wanted to discuss, I posted this on Twitter of what was your play of the game for today's Bills game. And there's actually a few really good responses on Twitter. And I wanted to read some of those right now. This one is by Jerry Jones at Rogue DPP. He wrote, the Jets missed extra point in the beginning of the game. That was huge. That was awesome. I can't believe we didn't discuss that. The Jets kicker missing not only that extra point for that first touchdown, but also that field goal before halftime. I believe it was before halftime. That was huge. That was the difference in the game. Not having a good kicker can really cost you in the NFL. Not only,
I mean, that's on the coaching staff, right? Like, they've got to figure that out. Normally, when you sign somebody off the street, he's a phenom. He's somebody you make Disney movies out of, right? Like, this guy's done. I mean, you kind of feel bad for him, but he's done, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's got to be cut. Gotta be.
There's just,
if you're a Jets player, that's got to be so demoralizing.
Oh, yeah. They've had, I believe they said in the broadcast, 3 kickers in like the last 2 weeks or something like that. It just goes to show you how hard it is to find a good kicker in the NFL. That's why I'm okay with them extending Steven Hauschka like they did. These guys are a dime a dozen. Wait, no, that's the opposite. These guys are so hard to come by. Other really great responses. The Bills guys at the Bills guys wrote, the CJ Mosley injury on the John Brown breakup in the end zone. That was a huge breakup by CJ. Dude, CJ Mosley was everywhere. Not only was he in the backfield, not only was he covering guys, not only was he sacking, it was just, he was running downfield with John Brown, arguably our fastest receiver. And he broke up that play at the very last second in the end zone. And luckily, according to the Bills guys, and I wouldn't disagree with that, CJ Mosley got injured on that play. So the turning point of the game for sure is what Jeffrey Waddy at Jeffrey Waddy also said. Mark Diminsky at M. Diminsky wrote, the final whistle when the game ended. There we go. That was a good one. Travis Barchowski at T-Barjo 12. Any play by Singletary, 100%. Tony Breggins at FFT305 wrote something very similar. Every defensive play, defense was on fire. Vito Kavanaugh at VitoCav13, when they decided to run the ball. That's a good point. That's a good point. But although I will say that they were making strides passing the ball, just, you know, when they weren't passing it to the other team by mistake. Bronze better at Nation ED ITCT wrote, every second half play. Man, it was huge. Someone else wrote at Kari Vedvik, missed extra point. Ron at R. Tater wrote, the play that Dable remembered, they had Singletary. Some really good responses on Twitter. This space is blank at JakePaz13. The no look defended pass by Levi Wallace. Great call there. That was huge. That ended up saving a touchdown at the very end. Gregory at Greg Lang 01 also brings that up. Levi Wallace deep pass breakup. Fishman49 at Fishman49NJ wrote, honestly, it has to be in the fourth quarter, but I think Taron Johnson, the breakup before the half on the Robbie Anderson pass was the play. That was the play where Taron Johnson, again, just stuck his hand right out there and just happened to bat the ball away at the last second to stop a touchdown. A lot of those plays going on today. So, all right. Now let's get into our Wall of Fame and Wall of Shame. So Wall of Fame for me has to go with, I mean, we've mentioned all these guys individually, but I'm going to go with Devin Singletary right now, only because he was a rookie. It's his first start of the season of his career in the NFL. The Bills just cut LeSean McCoy. The Bills had not given Devin Singletary a lot of run in the first half, and he just came into the second half on fire. He actually reminds me, and I've said this on some of the preseason podcasts, is he reminds me a little bit of Le'Veon Bell with his vision, his elusiveness, and his patience to find the hole. I remember we've mentioned this in the preseason. Someone tweeted at me calling him Devion Singletary, and I don't know, man. He reminds me a little bit of a younger Le'Veon Bell. So Devin Singletary's first game as a rookie, without him, the Bills definitely don't win this game. John, what about you? Who's your Wall of Famer for the game?
I'm just going to put the whole defense up there. A lot of 8 points the whole game. You know, they were making plays right to the end. If it wasn't for them, they would have lost for sure. They give up one more anything and the Jets would have won.
Definitely. What about you, Mike?
Right to the end, John. Remember, with a minute and a half to go, it's fourth and one. They've got Le'Veon Bell stopped. And you're like, game's over. Game's over. Everyone's cheering. Oh, Le'Veon Bell, first down.
right to the end, I was referring to Levi Wallace.
So you admit that was the one problem, I would say. Certainly the whole team, poise, resilience, all game. But that one play could have cost them the game, not playing to the end. Like I said, a minute and a half to go. It's fourth and one. They've got them stopped. Jordan to rights. Jordan's second effort. Yep.
Jordan Phillips was celebrating that tackle. Right. That end of turnover
that
on downs.
Was
and it wasn't
maddening.
Even. Yeah.
You know what's funny? I thought they stopped them. I'm like high-fiving my wife and everything. Like, oh, this is great, whatever. And then, like, I look back up at the TV and they're throwing the ball downfield. Like, what just happened?
John, how long did you step away from the TV? That was like a good minute or so. I thought the game was over. I went upstairs. But yeah, come back down. The game's still going on 5 minutes later. Hey, can we talk about, this has nothing to do with the Wall of Fame for the game, but the end of the first half dragged on forever. They used like all six of their timeouts within like 2 minutes. Like, what was that? Talk about dragging on in the first half. That was just like, I was just, what is this? Like, was it 3 o'clock almost? Geez, we haven't even finished the first half. Anyway, Mike, who's on your Wall of Fame?
It's John Brown, Nate. 7 receptions, 123 yards, and the game-winning touchdown. Come on.
Okay.
I can
get with that. I can get everyone that you guys mentioned. There were so many game balls and, you know, Wall of Fame nominations to go around. I'd even, like someone mentioned, the C.J. Mosley second half injury. I might give that one, put that one on the Wall of Fame. So let's go to, actually, I have a few on Twitter for Wall of Fame versus Wall of Shame. Jason Statham at J Statham writes, Wall of Fame, John Brown or Jordan Poyer? That's a good one. Jordan Poyer had an amazing game, too. I think he's kind of under the radar. Mark Van Langingham at Marzadale wrote, Wall of Fame is Devin Singletary. Wall of Shame, Cole Beasley. So, Cole Beasley, if it wasn't for that tip-up interception, I'd say that he had a pretty decent game. I mean, he was exactly what we needed him to be. A guy that's just under the middle or over the middle, catching passes underneath.
Awesome to have. Exciting to have. I just don't think this was his welcome to the party game. You know, whatever you want to say, like breakout game. It wasn't.
He did have another big drop on the sidelines.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I agree. I don't, you know, it's, you know.
The future, I think, is really bright. I'm excited to have him. I just don't think it was as good as it could be.
I mean, I wasn't expecting him to have like a Jamison Crowder-like game, but I was kind of hoping like somewhere in between what he had in that game. Maybe, you know, 7 receptions for 80 yards and, you know. But yeah, I see. Steven Ujvari Jr. at Unconquered 0412 wrote, Hall of Fame or Wall of Fame, Shaq Lawson, Jordan Poyer, John Brown's. I think that Shaq Lawson one is good. I mean, Shaq Lawson is in a contract season and he just showed up really great today. He had that huge sack that we discussed earlier on 3rd and 10, and then he had that pass batted down at the line. The guy is just showing up, like, and you would kind of hope that in general with this being his fourth season. And, you know, if he keeps showing up like this, he's going to have a huge payday at the end of the season if he plays like this game in and game out. And hopefully, you know, it's the Bills, like I mentioned last podcast, they have $89 million in cap space. So I don't know if they can re-sign him. But, hey, man, if he shows up like this, you do your best to get him. Mike Taylor, this might be the best wall of fame on Twitter. Mike Taylor, at MikeTaylor6895, wrote, for the wall of fame, that would be us, the fans, for not turning it off at halftime. Well put. So we talked Wall of Fame. Let's talk Wall of Shame. I'll go first on this one because, I mean, at the end of the game, especially with a huge win like this, it's really hard to look back and try to find a lot of negative things. At least it is for me. But I'm going to say Wall of Shame is just the first half offense. It just lacked a lot of creativity, like any screen passes or any slant passes. It just seemed a lot of, they were moving the ball, but I don't know, 19 passes in a row. I always want them to pass more than run the ball, but you have to show some sort of, you're putting your rookie quarterback in a lot of tough situations in his first game of his second season and relying on this new offensive line completely to protect him. So I would have liked them to run the ball a little bit more. Of course, that's hindsight is 2020, but in general, obviously we know the second half offense was much better, but I'm going to put the first half offense on my wall of shame. What about you, John?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. First half offense,
they were flukes. The turnovers were flukes. The offense came out firing. It was exciting to watch. All you guys do is talk about, oh, they run too much right into the pile. Jets defensive line is really good. Their weakness is their corners. Like, I loved how we came out throwing the ball.
But they didn't attack the corners. They were throwing short passes.
They were moving the ball, and then it was those fluke turnovers.
In the corners. They were not throwing it deep. They weren't testing out those defensive backs.
No, they were testing out C.J. Mosley, who was succeeding and passing that test very well for the most part in the first half. I would agree with John on this one as far as testing the backs. But to your point, Mike, the Jets have a really good defensive line. So I could see not running it up the gut, but maybe some more creative runs, maybe out to the side. Maybe a run like the Bills had that very interesting quarterback sweep in the second half. Like, that was creative play calling. You know, maybe they didn't want to overwhelm Josh Allen and the offense in the first half, and then the second half they're like, all right, we got to change it up. But hey, a flea flicker. Remember those flea flickers last season? I mean, who doesn't like a good flea flicker, right?
Love flea flickers.
It's like my favorite thing ever. More than a Bills win. No. So I was just hoping for a little bit more creativity. But you're right, Mike. A couple of bounces, a couple of different things, and that first half offense actually gets, you know, 3 points or at least a touchdown or something like that, right? So, Mike, do you have anyone on your wall of shame? Or do you have a response to that?
Talking to you two is like talking to a wall. You're just digging in. They had a field goal try, right? And then it was Feliciano who had the penalty that knocked him out of field goal range. Like, they were right there in a couple of different times. Yeah. Just bad bounces. And you knew it was not going to happen all game. Like, what other game can you ever... At one point, the Bills' chance of winning was less than 1%, right? They're down 16-0 on the road. Turned the ball over four times. But to me, this game was like, they have a great chance of winning. Just hang tight. It did not feel at all like, here we go again, or, oh, woe is me, Bills stink. Through halftime, through the third quarter, like, we're right there. Our defense is playing lights out. We're going to start getting some of these coin flips to go our way.
Yeah, I never thought we were ever completely out of it. Even when we were down 16-0 by the third quarter or fourth quarter, I wasn't thinking, wow, this game's done. Like, they had very much so had a chance. Like you said, if the bounces start going the right way for them, which they kind of did with the C.J. Mosley injury and some creative play calling. And yeah, I never felt like we were out of this. John, did you ever feel like we were out of this game?
No, I mean, definitely not after halftime. I started to get a little worried at 16-0. I knew they weren't out of it yet, but I was like, they got to score points. But they definitely were out.
Yeah, it was a welcome change to, like John said, or Mike said, in past games, in past seasons. You thought they were out of it. They were never out of it, which is a testament, again, to this coaching staff and this the talent on this roster. So, Mike, do you have no wall of shame? Is that what you're saying?
No, I just the play for me when you claw all the way back with a minute and a half to go and they had the game won, that really irritated me, I guess. I'm like, oh, they've got them, and then they're celebrating.
Good call.
I mean, like, you rob a bank, right? You don't celebrate in the parking lot. You go to your hideout. Or South America, whatever. You can't stop before it's over. Yeah. That just, oh, it was so frustrating.
Yeah.
And I hope they show that in the film room and embarrass people and it never happens again. Because yeah. That could have been the game.
Good call. Good call. I love that analogy too, the bank robbery, man. Good one. Nice. Cool. So let's go over. There are just a few injuries to Bills players today. There was Taron Johnson left the game with a hamstring injury. Saron Neal started in his absence and had a pretty decent game, all things considered. You know, had some rough coverage early in the game and then just made up for it in the end of the game, had some good passes defended. And yeah. So overall, you know, I want to say my final thoughts for today's win, today's victory in New Jersey against the Jets is, like I mentioned before, this is going to be a fun divisional rivalry. This was a huge win by the Bills, and I'm excited. We're really close to that 23-0 start that John always mentioned, getting to a possibly 11-6 like we predicted in our last podcast where we went over the entire season schedule. And this was one of those games where you needed to win. If you lose against the Jets, then all of those other games that Mike, John, and I had winning against, like, teams like the Tennessee Titans, all of a sudden those go into question because they weren't able to beat a game like a team like the Jets. So I thought it was great. Do you guys have any final thoughts on today's victory against the New York Jets?
No, I thought it was great. I mean, it almost felt like a role reversal of sorts. Like, usually, you know, if you flip the Bills into the Jets, right? It almost seems like, oh, the Jets kind of got out to a little bit of a lead and then they try to hang on and then they don't, type of thing. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. That's definitely a game script of past seasons and coaching staffs of being up like just barely enough after like four turnovers. I think there was a game with the Jets a few years ago when Rex Ryan was coach where the Bills had like five turnovers and the Jets ended up winning on a last second field goal anyway. You know, this is a welcome change of thought and an outcome. Mike, what
it's
about
nice
you?
It's nice not to be in a hole.
Being 0-1 in a hole? Yeah, yeah.
And starting to justify things and going through the five stages of grief on the season already. You know, it's like, it's nice we're already up.
Absolutely.
So that's awesome. Looking forward to next week.
Absolutely. So just in thinking about last season when we were doing the first game recap podcast, we were talking the sky is falling. You know, they lost. They got absolutely blown out by the Ravens at home. And we're looking and we're like, geez, what the hell is going on? Like, you know what? It's so much better beyond this end. It's so much nicer. So
was that the game we had to go over to John's house and bring our sleeping bags and stay with him all night to make sure he was okay?
Make sure nothing bad happened to him.
I think that was game one last year.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is the year.
This is the year. What minus the first Bills loss and watch. We have to go on, like, you know, watch for John, be like, hey, texting his wife. Is John all right? How's John doing tonight? You know, keep an
Make
eye
sure
on
Make sure you don't leave him alone. Yeah, have shifts.
Yeah, man. Anyways, I was the next game we have next Sunday is against the 0-1 New York Giants in New Jersey. And I just want to take this time to, if you guys could leave us a review in Apple Podcasts, we definitely appreciate it. If you love the Bills like we do, please leave us a review. You know, we do these recaps every week, every Sunday night. And yeah, so it's been really fun talking Bills with you guys. And so we're going to sign off. We'll talk to you guys again next week. Hopefully another big win we're discussing next week. So for John?
23-0. Let's go, Bills.
For Mike?
Go, Bills.
And for me, Nate, go Bills. The season is bright. And enjoy this Bills 2019 anthem by Don Brown.
Buffalo. Buffalo, Buffalo, it's the mafia. Buffalo, 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 it's the mafia. Buffalo, 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 it's the mafia. Buffalo, 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 it's the mafia. It's the Buffalo Bills, ayy. It's the Buffalo Bills, ayy. Buffalo, 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 it's the mafia. Josh Allen, Frank Gore, John Brown, who's stopping us? Trey Edmonds, Ed Oliver, Jerry Hughes, who blocking us? I don't see nobody stopping us. Number one, no one on top of us. What they gonna do when Matt Milano coming with the blitz off the edge? Don't you throw it in the air, cause Trey White and Micah Hyde will intercept. Star Lotta, Louis double team, now the team getting easy sacks. Jerry Hughes with the double moves, coming straight for the quarterback. Take him down, take him down. McDermott climbing on the sidelines, and the crowd going crazy. Mafia, it's all time, circling the wagons. With the mafia, yeah, circling the wagons. Nate Auburn, where you at? Buffalo, 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 it's the mafia. 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 It's the Buffalo Bills, ayy. It's the Buffalo Bills, ayy. Buffalo, 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 it's the mafia. Josh Allen, Frank Gore, John Brown, who's stopping us? Jordan Poyer, Trey Day, Rizzo, who blocking us? I don't see nobody stopping us. Number one, no one on top of us. Mitch Moore snapping, Josh Allen looking down the field. See no one open, so he scrambled right. He sees somebody open, but he off balance, so he gotta be focused. Dawkins with the block, Allen with the shock. 70 yards, will it be caught? Zay Jones or Cole Beasley? Down the field, past the whole roster. That's Robert Foster, make it so easy. Touchdown, new era field, rocking every Sunday. Got a hangover on every Monday. House money kicking, you know we winning. Josh Allen passing, who gon' pass us? With Devin and Frank, you know we great. If you're not a Bills fan, we don't relate. Buffalo, 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 it's the mafia. Nate Arbel, Don Brown on the podcast, who's stopping us? Circling the wagons with the mafia, who's stopping us? No one.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.